Welcome to NHL Draft Class. I am Adam Kimmelman. Mike Morial, we actually got to go cover something in person, the CHL Top Prospects game. We actually got out to see people. We got to see each other. You look different when you're not in a little Zoom box on my computer. Good hockey, good prospects, good interviews. We got to talk to some of the players. It was a good time. First time in 2 years we had been out and actually got together and actually got to see some actual hockey together.
Adam, it was outstanding. I can't begin to tell you, you know, how great it was to be in an arena, watching top prospects and having the opportunity to interview them as well, right? I mean, to talk to between 16 and 24 of these prospects and all have their own stories to tell on how they came about to where they are now. And a lot of these players will be drafted in the first or second round, maybe top of the third round. So it was an exciting game. You know, a lot of good things happened inside the game and, you know, just to be together. You know what I got to say, though, Adam, you know, I was drinking my coffee. Like I had maybe 2-3 cups of coffee that the morning of that game, but I didn't see you grabbing any cups of coffee. I thought I kind of, you know.
No,
I steered you in that direction. No.
I was very comfortable with my Diet Pepsi and bottles of water, and I let you consume half an urn of coffee per period. I forgot how you go through it like normal people drink water, but it was fun. Whatever kept you hydrated and kept you going, because it was a fun couple of days. It was a lot of work, but it was a fun couple of days getting to see these guys. And I'm wondering, you know, we sat there at the wonderful Kitchener Memorial Auditorium. We met these kids. Who from the game stood out to you?
There were two players that stood out for me. But first, I want to make mention that we will have Shane Wright, who is the projected number one player to go in the 2022 NHL draft on NHL Draft Class today. And we will also have Matias Sapovalev of Saginaw. He'll also be a guest of ours who we were able to catch up with at the Top Prospects game. And he is number 13 on the North American list. So two great guests upcoming. But for me, watching the game, you know, Moose Jaw's Jaeger Furkus, right, Adam? I mean, he was named player of the game for Team White. Seeing him on the ice, his vision, helping his teammates, I thought he did a fabulous job. He was a player that I don't think many people knew about. I mean, unless you watched him on video and are, you know, in the dub, watching the dub consistently. But, you know, doing a little research on him, he started the year on the fourth line. And right now, he's a top line player for that club. 78 points and 35 goals in 62 games for Moose Jaw. I thought he has enormous, you know, I think he has enormous potential here. I'm really looking forward to see what he could do the rest of the year and maybe help Guelph, maybe help Moose Jaw, you know, lead them to a WHL crown. It's going to be interesting to watch how this all unfolds. And, you know, Moose Jaw coach Mark O'Leary actually said that he can play the middle. He can play the right side and you never get worried about him putting him in any type of role, defensive zone, faceoffs. He's a smart kid. I think that's what he feels is his MO, his IQ. He understands the game really well and has earned everything that he's gotten. So he's a real good story, I think, going down the stretch run here. And another player that kind of caught my eye, Adam, and we both looked at one another because he threw a big hit on Shane Wright in the early stages of the game. And that was Gatineau defenseman Noah Warren, also of Team White. Many feel this is a raw kid. He's got a tons of upside. He's number 49 on the North American list for Central Scouting. So right now he's a projected, you know, late second round, maybe early third round pick. But I like the size of this kid, and he's made impressive progressions. You know, I spoke to JF Danfus of NHL Central Scouting, and, you know, JF told me that this is a big, strong defenseman who can skate well. He's got impressive speed with that forward stride carrying the puck, has shown real good mobility with his backward skating. But in this game in general, the Top Prospects game, I thought he held himself really well. I mean, I saw a few mistakes out of him. I mean, he seemed to really relish the opportunity to go against some of those top skaters like Matthew Savoy and Shane Wright. So those are the two players that kind of stood out for me, Adam. How about you?
For me, it was Danny Jilkin who played on the line with Shane Wright. And we're going to talk to Shane here in a little bit. But for me, it was Jilkin, just the confidence. you know, he set up Shane for that, for the goal on the 2-on-1. He just feathered that pass perfectly across the slot over the defenseman's stick, right onto Shane Wright's tape for an easy goal. The skill, the poise, and he's got a swagger, right? We had some time with Danny, and he's got some definite confidence and some swagger to his game, which is fun to see. And Denton Matejczuk, the defenseman from Moose Jaw, you know, he has the reputation of being an offensive-minded defenseman. He certainly showcased those skills, made some really nice plays in the offensive zone. And I really like the way he defended with his feet, with his skate, with his smarts. You know, he's not a big guy. He's not going to be Zdeno Chara putting guys through boards. I think he's about 5'10". So he's got to be a smart player, and he really showcased that intelligence level in the defensive zone that's really going to make him a desirable guy for teams when we get to the draft in July. But really who I think had the most fun there was Ivan Jigalov, the goalie from Sherbrooke. You know, he's playing in the home end for the first period, and he's got a whole cheering section behind him. And we asked him about it after the game, and he didn't get it either. He was just like, I don't know why they're chanting my name, but I'm going to really appreciate and enjoy this for as long as I can. And I don't know if anybody had more fun at the top prospects game than Ivan Jigalov in the period and a half that he played, just because he had his own traveling fan base that he didn't even expect to have. So that was neat to see.
Yeah. Jigalov was something special. He was a lot of fun to talk to, Adam. Obviously he's from Belarus. So he also made mention when I did speak with him that, you know, if he does one day get to the NHL, he will be the first goaltender from Belarus to play in the NHL, which is quite an accomplishment, of course. And, you know, we each asked him about some of those players, those NHL players that he watched, and maybe he models his game after. And Andrei Vasilevsky of the Tampa Bay Lightning was the one that he chose there. So a lot to like about Zhukalov, and that cheering section was a lot of fun when he turned around and saw everyone cheering for him. So there were a lot of good things about the top prospects games, and that was certainly one of them.
And one of the things for us was getting to meet some of these top prospects. And now that we're getting closer to the draft, we're going to be with you a little bit more regularly here at NHL Draft Class. We're going to be letting you hear from some of the top players, some of the best scouts, probably every other week here as we get forward, you know, closer to the draft, July 7th and 8th in Montreal. But first, we got a chance to talk with Shane Wright, the projected number one pick in the 2022 NHL Draft. Here's that interview we had with Shane Wright. Shane, how has it been dealing with the pressure of being the number one guy in the draft, the center of all the attention this year?
That's been tough at times. I think the biggest thing for me is just trying to tune it all out, just try not to focus on it too much. I think that's my mindset's really been, just really not focus on it too much. It's kind of like just what you said. It's all outside noise, not really stuff I can control, not really stuff I can influence at all. So I just try to, you know, go and play hockey and just, you know, do my thing.
Was it something you had to get used to, just dealing with all of that, dealing that pressure? You had to learn, because some guys relish it. Some guys love being in the spotlight. Other guys, maybe not so much. Was it something that you sort of had to kind of get used to and find your place in it?
A little bit, yeah. I think it's also something that I've kind of grown up with. I've really, you know, throughout my whole career, I've grown up with those pressures, grown up with those expectations. So it's something that, you know, I've had to deal with in the past. Obviously, you know, a little higher expectations this year with it, you know, being the NHL draft and all that. But it's something that I've dealt with in the past and, you know, I've had experience with before.
Who are some of the players in the NHL that you like to emulate, model your game after, and you enjoy watching?
Yeah, I like modeling myself after Patrice Bergeron. I think he's someone who I love watching. He's someone who does everything right. You know, he can score, he can make plays. He's gifted offensively, but you know, what gets noticed for him is his defensive game and the way he takes care of his own end. And you know, he can be trusted in any situation. He can you know, be, you know, his coaches put him in any situation. That's, you know, kind of the player I see myself as. And someone who I like watching as well is Braden Point. He's a guy that he's just so dynamic. He's so fun to watch every game. You know, I love watching him play and, you know, in playoffs as well. I think his play speaks for itself. The way he stepped up there in the last two playoffs, you know, he's the best player in the playoffs by far, and just, you know, a guy that, you know, I really like watching.
Put you on the spot a little bit here. Who's maybe the toughest defender that you faced in the OHL this year, and why might that be?
Oof. This year?
Overall, it doesn't have to be this year, if someone comes to mind.
Well, Kevin Ball was a tough guy to play against in my first year. He was definitely not a lot of fun to go against. We played Ottawa quite a few times, and they tend to beat us pretty well. And he was never a fun guy to play against, never fun going to corner with. So, yeah.
Is there something about your game, Shane, that maybe isn't you're not given enough credit for, and that maybe fans and scouts need to pay attention more of in your game?
I think just overall, my defensive game has really, you know, taken a lot of strides since my first year, especially. I think I've definitely, you know, grown to maturity as a player, grown to maturity, you know, as in, you know, I can, you know, play a lot more different situations this year, and, you know, my coach can be trusted, you know, put me in those spots this year. And I think that's, you know, something that can go unnoticed at times. And some, obviously it's not flashy, you're not making you know, cool flashy plays and scoring nice goals, but it's something that you know, is required to win games, required to win championships, and something that, you know, I feel that I bring to my team.
You're used to playing up, playing against higher levels competition, older competition. World Juniors, I know it was only, you know, I guess it was only like one game or whatever, but what was just being part of that experience, being around guys who some have been to NHL training camps? What was it? How did you feel you fit in, and what was your comfortability level in that experience?
Yeah, I feel like I fit right in. I feel like I definitely, you know, belong to be there. I was definitely, you know, more than, you know, capable of being there, being in that situation, and, you know, competing against those guys who are, you know, future NHL players and who have played, you know, NHL games in the past. So definitely, you know, really happy with that experience. It was obviously, you know, pretty disappointed it was cut short, but, you know, I definitely feel like, you know, I belong there.
Is there anybody that you kind of kept an eye on just to see how they handle things on the ice, off the ice, in the gym, that you could sort of learn from?
Yeah, I like watching I like watching Cole Perfetti. He's someone who I've known from the past as well. We're actually in the same agency, so I've got to know him pretty well in the past. But he's someone who I kind of, you know, look up to there, especially look up to as a leader and you know, to his habits on and off the ice. And you know, he's played NHL games. He scored a goal in the NHL, and you know, he's going to be a great NHL player in the future. So he's a guy that I really look up to, and you know, still you know, look up to now as well.
I know it was tough last year. The OHL canceled its season. You come in this season, I guess I could say kind of rusty, but what did you do to kind of keep in shape during that off season last year prior to coming in to this season?
Yeah, just a lot of training, a lot of off-ice training, working out in the gym, and just trying to you know, maintain my body as best as possible. And on ice, just, you know, stay as prepared as possible for, you know, whenever the season may start. Obviously, we didn't, you know exactly when it was going to start, so I think just, you know, just try to stay prepared and stay in shape as best as possible. I mean, it's, you know, you can do all the skating you want off season, but it's really tough to, you know, emulate a game like scenario. And that's definitely something that I missed a lot in the off season. Something that definitely you know, I missed doing for sure.
How long did you feel like you had to go to get your skating legs under you? Where you get back to feeling like you said you can't emulate a game in practice? How long did you feel into the season where you really felt, okay, now I am the guy I need to be? My legs are back. I got to feel the puck, feel the stick, game feel.
Yeah, I'd say probably around a month into the season, I think. You know, that first month for me wasn't my best. You know, I'm going to be the first guy to admit that. I'm the first, you know, person to admit that it wasn't good enough. And, you know, I recognize that. And maybe that was rust from not playing here. Maybe that was, you know, a little nervousness from coming to my draft year, whatever it may be. Not trying to, you know, make any excuses. But, you know, definitely, you know, took that first month to kind of get my legs under me. But I think after that, it really kind of took off. Really, you know, my play kept getting a lot better and better. And, you know, I'm really hoping to, you know, keep that good play the rest of the year.
Shane, can you complete a Rubik's Cube in under a minute and a half like teammate Paul Ledzinski?
I can't, no.
Talk to me a little bit about Paul and what he's meant to the team.
Yeah, Paul's great. He's a great player. He's a great teammate as well. He's someone who just works so hard. He's always moving his feet. He's always working hard, and he does all the right things as well. So he's been a great piece for a team. Great guy in the room as well. And you know, we're just overall really, really good teammate.
All right, last one for me. Team says to you, why should we take Shane Wright with the number one pick in the draft? What's your answer?
I'm someone who wants to win every single day. I'm someone whose goals is to win and win championships. And you know, the team that, you know, whatever team drafts me, you know, we're going to be building towards a championship. And that, you know, that's going to be my mindset. You know, my mindset's not to win scoring titles, not to win MVPs. It's to win Stanley Cups. And I believe that, you know, the way I play, my competitiveness and my drive to win is going to help do that.
A big thank you to Shane right there. Outstanding interview. And obviously, this is the player everyone's watching, right, Adam? He's the projected number one pick in the 22 draft. He's number one on NHL Central Scouting's midterm rankings. All the scouts have watched this player for the past 3-4 years since he was 15. And, you know, he still remains a cut above everyone else. We're at a point with Shane where he's been on the radar for so long that when you start to watch a player and see what he does, it gets to the point where you maybe pick them apart a little bit, right? And I think we saw that early in the season with Shane Wright. And let's not forget, you know, he missed an entire season last year because the Ontario Hockey League was canceled because of the, you know, the COVID-19 pandemic. So, you know, no player can give you an all-star highlight reel performance every game. You know, a lot of these scouts have seen what he's been able to do in the last month and a half. And he's back up to that pace that we all like to see where a number one potential prospect should be. Shane Wright has done that. We all know that Logan Cooley from the National Team Development Program under 18 team is number two on the North American list. And a lot of people think he might have closed the gap, Adam. But for my sake, and I know you believe as well, that Shane Wright right now is that number one guy. And I think if he can just play that consistent level that he's doing right now, I think he'll remain number one for the rest of the season.
No, I agree with you 100%. You know, I remember talking to a scout back before the 2009 draft. John Tavares was expected to be the number one pick. And then as we get closer, I remember people saying, oh, well, he can't do this and he can't skate. And there are these issues that here and there. And I had a really smart scout say to me, look, if you had 4 years of watching a guy, you're going to start seeing the flaws. You're going to start seeing the tiny little problems. Nobody's not taking John Tavares because there's maybe a little bit of ankle flexion issue when he turns this way or that way. He's fine. He's going to be an all-star NHL player. And here we are all these years later. And yes, John Tavares is an all-star NHL player. And I think the same applies to Shane Wright. At a certain point, you're so used to seeing all the great plays, all the smart plays, all the great plays he makes with the puck, all the great plays he makes without the puck, all the smart things that he does. And you start seeing the little flaws. And I don't think those little flaws are enough to take away from the greatness that Shane Wright projects to have at the NHL level. You know, a lot of people like to compare his game to Patrice Bergeron because of his hockey IQ, his all-around skill. Like, if you can get Patrice Bergeron or someone like that with the number one pick in the draft, you'd be foolish not to take him. You know, and we talked to Shane. We listened to what he said, and championships are his focus. He doesn't care about MVPs. He doesn't care about scoring titles. He just wants to win. There's a competitiveness to his game on the ice, off the ice. He is driven. He is driven to be a great player. And yeah, I know Logan Cooley has had a fantastic year, and there are a lot of guys who have had really good years so far and going to continue to have good years as we go through the rest of the season. But to me, if I'm picking, Shane Wright's the guy. I have the number one pick. There's no doubt about it. Shane Wright is the number one guy for me.
Yeah, when you get to the NHL, it's hard. You don't have a Connor McDavid or an Auston Matthews every year as the number one pick. But going into this draft, he still remains the number one player to me. You know, and we talked about, I said earlier about Logan Cooley, maybe he's closed the gap a little bit because of his play. But Wright still remains number one. When you just focus on him and what he does, what he brings to the table, the way he applies himself, and let's face it, Adam, you know, he conducted himself professionally in every interview that we've done with him, right? He has that pro type mentality. You know, he's got that IQ about how he needs to present himself, how he needs to present whichever team, club, organization he's playing for. And that's the sign of a true pro. And we've seen that in Shane Wright, not only off the ice, but on the ice as well.
Yeah, is Shane Wright going to be Connor McDavid? Is he going to be Auston Matthews, that dynamic offensive element? I don't think so. But there are a lot of things that he is really, really, really good at. Faceoffs, hockey IQ, defensive zone. He is going to help you in every aspect of the game when he first comes into the league, and then as he continues to grow and mature. There's not an element of the game Shane Wright isn't going to have a positive impact in. And those guys don't come around a lot. When you have the opportunity to get one, you jump on it. So whoever ends up winning the lottery, whoever ends up having that number one pick, I can't imagine there's going to be a lot of hesitation about who they should take. To me, it should be Shane Wright.
Well, in addition to Shane Wright, we also were able to get a hold of Matias Povilev of Saginaw, a left-handed center. Big, rangy player, 6'3", 178 pounds. This is his first OHL season, and he had some real good things to talk about, including Jaromír Jágr. So here's our interview with Matias Povilev from the Top Prospects game.
So, Matias, talk about your transition from Czechia in the under 20 to the Ontario Hockey League this season. How much has been an easy transition? Has it been difficult? What has it been like for you?
Oh, yeah, it was so weird. I made this decision so long time, and I didn't know if I won't go to OHL, if I want to stay in Czech, because last season I played Czech second lead with Jaromír Jágr or Tomáš Plekanec, and but coach didn't trust me so much, and I don't have ice time, and I wasn't too happy, and I start talking with my agent. I want to move to America or Canada, and I want to try some OHL team. And after Second of Spirit drafted me, and after I know I won't go, and I want to try it. I thought it will be so hard, but all staff in Saginaw and teammates are so nice, and they helped me so much, and it was easy for me.
So you said you're in Kladno, you got to play with Jaromír Jágr. For a 17-year-old guy, what was it like to be around the legend that is Jaromír Jágr?
It was nice. He's a special guy. He's like a big boss, and but sometimes he's a bit scary in ice. If he yelled to me or something, it's a bit scary. But he tried to help me, and I think he learned me many things. And Tomáš Plekanec, he's such a nice guy, and he helping me so much with faceoffs and all center positions.
Because it's Jágr, was it tempting to stay over there just to kind of learn from him, to stay and learn, even though you might not be getting the ice time you wanted? Was it tempting to just because you got to be around Jaromír Jágr?
Yeah, but I tried it last season, and I think for young players it's important ice time and play hockey. It's important for be better.
Yeah, what are your best assets on the ice, Matias? Like, how do you use, you know, your big frame? You know, 6'4", 190 pounds, a left-handed center. How do you best utilize your frame, and how do you go about using that size?
I think I'm good two-way center, and I play good offense and defense too. I have a good protection of puck and some hockey sense. I using my weight and height in over defense.
Do you feel you're more of a centerman, or do you feel maybe you'll be a winger when you reach the next level? How do you? What do you think?
I feel me like center.
Yeah, you like the center position, right? Is there something about your game that maybe isn't given enough credit that you want scouts and fans to know about? Maybe that's not talked about enough?
I don't know. I think my hockey sense actually so good, and I think I'm good in power play, and I want to score goals, passes, and I like winning, hate losing.
You special teams, power play and penalty kill, you do both?
Yeah,
you play both.
So obviously everybody watches games at the NHL level. Who do you like to watch and either pattern your game after or take some ideas from?
I think I played Mikko Rantanen from Colorado.
What is it about Mikko's game that you really like that stands out to you?
He's a big tough guy, and his hockey sense and skills awesome. I watch some of his games. Yesterday I watched Colorado against Edmonton. It was a good game. Yeah. And I think all Colorado have a good team this season.
Can you just talk briefly about teammate Pavel Minchikov and what it's like playing against him on the ice?
Yeah, it's so hard to play against him. He's so strong, and his defense position so good. If I play one against one against him, it's so hard for me to score or make some play.
Practices are tough, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks again to Matias Sapovala from Saginaw for joining us on NHL Draft Class. And Mike, I love the Jágr talk. Like, we both got the opportunity to cover Jágr throughout his journey through the NHL. And I know you enjoyed it. I loved the one season I had to cover him when he's with the Philadelphia Flyers. So I love talking to guys about what their experience was with Big Boss Jágr. That was fun. And you know, there's so much you can learn from him. And I'm sure Sapovala will be a much better player from all the things he took from just being around Jágr and sitting under that learning tree.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I the funny thing about Jágr, Adam, you know, and I remember covering the Devils, and he played for the Devils, and you know, it was after a morning skate, went over the Jágr, and I said, how do you do it? I was like, you're, you know, however many years old, and how do you keep it up? And he looked at me like, you know, I had eight heads, and he says, I'm just different, man. That's what he said. And you know, young players look at that, they listen to that, hear that. And Jágr has said that before publicly. And it's just stuff that, you know, for Matias to have a role model like Jágr and be able to play with him and be with him in the Czech was pretty special for him. But for Sapovalov, you know, why he got my attention, it was after speaking with David Gregory of NHL Central Scouting. And David told me that this kid has pro potential written all over him. And when David says something like that, you know, you got to look into it. You got to dive into it a little bit further. And let's face it, Adam, he was number 13 on Central Scouting's midterm report. So he's a projected first round player. From what I'm seeing and what we saw at the game, I took some notes, jotted some notes down, and you know, he's got that playmaking mentality. He's a goal scorer. The only thing maybe missing from his game is that physical aspect, but for the most part, you know, he gets back, he plays a 200-foot game from what I witnessed at the Top Prospects game. I thought he represented himself really well. And at 6'4", 90 pounds, he's definitely a player that's going to get the attention of scouts and general managers at the draft. So a skilled player that moves and skates, you know, extremely well for a guy his size. He's got those on ice tools that we discussed. He likes video. He likes working with video from, you know, after speaking with Chris Lazary, the Saginaw coach. Lazary, the first thing he told me about Sapovalov was the fact that he's such a kind and good person. He's a good human being, and he's a great teammate. So that's one of his strengths. And on top of that, when you put what he's doing on the ice as well, how he's producing for Saginaw, that says a lot. And I think this is a player that for sure, Adam's going to go in the first round and someone's going to get a good player here.
Well, when you come over from Europe and you've never played on the smaller ice and the coach looks at you and says, top line, power play, penalty kill, without really having the chance to adjust to the different ice size, that says a lot about your skill set. That says a lot about how much trust he was able to earn in a very short order with the coaching staff in Saginaw. And, you know, like you said, we're watching him at the Top Prospects game. He was on that fourth line. Every time he was on the ice, it seemed like the puck was around him. And when you can stand out in that group in that way, that speaks a lot to me, at least, to your skill set, to what you're capable of doing, how you're able to handle yourself on the ice in a very difficult situation. Yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a very, very good player. And look, he's 6'4". He's got a frame that you're able to develop, that you're going to be able to put muscle on as he gets involved with NHL strength training, NHL nutritionist. He's a guy that really is going to has the potential to help teams in a lot of different ways. You're looking for those 6'4" centermen who can skate, play 200 feet. He checks all the boxes that you're looking for if you're looking for that kind of player. And what I also like, and you mentioned that what the coach, how he's a good player, you know, obviously Pavel Minchikov, the defense from Saginaw, also comes over from Russia. You know, as Sapovalov told me, he speaks English, Russian, and Czech. So I said, how do you communicate with Minchikov? He's one of your better friends. I said, do you speak Czech? Do you speak Russian? He goes, we speak in English. I said, okay, well, who's better, your Russian or his Czech? And without hesitation, he laughs and he says, Myrushin, his check, no good. So, you know, the kid's got, he's got the skills on the ice. He's got a good sense of humor. He's got a good personality. And as much as we focus on the on ice stuff, it's that stuff off the ice that teams really can use to split the finer details. Because you're bringing a guy into your locker room, you want to know that you're bringing a good person who's going to be able to function in a team dynamic, who's able to communicate with different people in different ways. And Matias certainly checks that box off in a big, big way. The fact that he's able to get along well with teammates, you know, create that chemistry, create those bonds in a fun, friendly way, that as much of his on-ice stuff, that's going to attract teams.
He has a lot of aspects in his game that you are very difficult to coach. He already has that resume. The things that Matias needs to work on are very coachable. And I think that says a lot. It says to a club that maybe wants to take him early in the first round, mid first, wherever it may be, he's going to be a very coachable kid. He's worked hard to improve his skating stride from what coach had told me this season. He's shown that impressive two-way game, something we saw at the top prospects game where he would work his way into the offensive zone, create for his teammates, and then skate 180 feet back, you know, to back check and do what needs to be done in a defensive zone. So he's going to be in high demand, Adam, in this draft. A player of his stature doesn't come along very often. A guy that's willing to do whatever it takes to help a team. He's not going to be that first line, or I wouldn't think that first line type guy, but maybe that second, third line guy that's going to be able to do whatever it takes to help the team succeed.
Well, we're going to talk more about Matias. We're going to talk more about Shane Wright as we move forward here on NHL Draft Class, as we get closer to the draft in Montreal in July. Now, if you want to learn more about some of the top prospects, you can go back and listen to some of our older episodes with NHL Draft Class. We spoke with Brad Lambert, who plays for Pelicans in Liga, one of the top international prospects. We spoke with Dan Marr, the director of Central Scouting, who gave us some fantastic insight on all the top prospects. And we're going to have more of that to come. We spoke to more scouts, more players at CHL Top Prospects game. And as we start rolling out into a more regular routine here with NHL Draft Class, we're going to have all the stuff, all the information, all the top players, everybody you want to hear from, you're going to be able to hear from them on NHL Draft Class. Right, Mike?
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think, you know, now we're starting to gear up. Obviously, the U18s are upcoming as well very soon, Adam, in Germany. So that's going to be a lot of fun to watch all the projected 22 draft eligible players in that tournament. But one other thing I do want to mention is that NHL Central Scouting will conduct in person, Adam, for the first time in 3 years, their final meetings in the board offices in Toronto. So, of course, those final meetings are extremely important to do it in person. I know Dan Marr and his and the input he'll receive from the 8 full-time scouts for the North American ranks is going to be huge this year to do that in person. They'll determine the final ranks for the top 224 North American skaters and the top 32 North American goalies eligible for the upcoming draft. So it's always something that I enjoy doing, being a fly on the wall in those meetings, something the late EJ McGuire allowed us to do way back when, and we're still doing it today. So it's a lot of fun, Adam, and looking forward to it.
And that's going to do it for us here at NHL Draft Class. Thank you for listening. Please subscribe anywhere you get your podcasts. Thank you again for listening. But for now, NHL Draft Class is dismissed.